He walks in and the pastor, Reverend Clemente Pinckney, welcomed him in. He was a visitor. White man, a hoodie, they welcome him in to the church. They welcome him into the Bible study. He sat at a table with them, shoulder to shoulder. They were talking, they were sharing, they were praying for about an hour. And then all of a sudden, this man, this visitor, this person who had been welcomed to the prayer circle, stood up, pulled out a gun, and shot and killed people. 9 people, in fact. 6 women and 3 men. The oldest person was 87. The youngest person was 26. Shot and killed. A couple people were left alive. One woman in particular, he said to her, "Have I shot you yet?" And she said, "No." He said, "Well, I'm going to leave you alive so that you can tell the story." 5 individuals survived the shooting unharmed, including Felicia Sanders, mother of slain victim Tawanza Sanders, and her 5-year-old granddaughter who was under her grandmother's body, along with Polly Shepherd, a Bible study member. Pinckney's wife and 2 daughters were also inside the building during the shooting, and they survived. Folks, I'm talking about forgiveness today. I'm thinking about, what does that mean? Phoenix, Arizona, you just had a police officer pull out a gun and pull a gun on a pregnant woman with her children because her 4-year-old walked out of the store with a Barbie doll. Phoenix has also had 44 police shootings in the last year, more than any large city. We have a number of domestic terrorists, white males, who are committing mass shootings. We have racist young men applying to Harvard. It comes out that they've used the N-word repeatedly. They have their offer of admissions rescinded, and they're blaming black people for this, calling it reverse racism. So I'm just trying to figure out, in the face of white nationalism, white supremacy, in the face of racism, and really whiteness as a whole and what that embodies, what does forgiveness look like to you? Are we too forgiving? What does it mean to be called on to forgive over and over again? You call the cops on me, I need to forgive you. You pull a gun out on me, I need to forgive you. You come and shoot up a church, gotta forgive you. Even though all of these incidences, even though I'm not involved, because I'm black, folks, it is traumatizing for me. Traumatizing for my family, traumatizing for people who look like me to deal with this type of violence, this type of hostility, this type of oppression every single day and just survive being black in America. 410-319-8888. I have Thomas on the phone from Baltimore. Thomas, how are you?
Dr. K, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thank you for holding on, Thomas, too.
Dr. K, no problem. You sure you want to know about forgiveness today?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Well, Dr. K, so much is given, much is required.
Mm.
Okay? Dr. K, I have a warrior mentality too, okay? But my warrior mentality, Dr. K, won't allow me to take blood money and sell you out.
Mm.
My warrior mentality, Dr. K, won't allow me to go and sit down with the white man and women and tell them what my brothers and sisters are planning. My warrior mentality won't do that, Dr. K.
Mm-hmm.
But I say that to say this. Dr. K, there's many among us who rather sell us out to these people than to stand up and really do what is called, and that's to take your rightful place as a black man or a black woman. Dr. K, if your son, who's just graduated right now, had to walk into a Jewish synagogue, shot 9 Jewish people when they were in there praying, do you think the Baltimore City Police Department or Baltimore County Police Department would take him to McDonald's or Burger King?
No, and I'll tell you what makes that really hard, Thomas, is, you know, it's hard for me to even think of an example involving my own sons, but to just put a black man in there, take my own sons out of it, Thomas, but to put a black man, I know what you mean. But do we get extended that type of humanity even in the face of the things that we've done? Because that's what that was. They saw him as guilty as innocent until proven guilty.
A child walked out of the store.
I know.
With a toy.
I know.
Cop runs up with a gun on the family.
Yes.
You would think they were robbing a bank, Dr.
King. That's what I was saying.
A $4 white Barbie doll. Is that all Barbie's worth today?
Yeah. $4, whatever. Never bought one.
They're willing to take these people's life over a Barbie doll? Somebody's got to do something about that. The police commissioner or whoever the police chief is there has to come out.
Yeah, and they did. They came out and they apologized. But the thing is, though, Thomas, an apology given and the family's suing for $10 million and Jay-Z has sent them a lawyer, it doesn't erase the fact that this is happening to us a lot.
It's happening to us a lot, Dr. King. Everybody is giving Commissioner Michael, Baltimore News Police Commissioner.
Commissioner Harrison.
Everybody's giving him credit now for firing that racist cop that he fired. Well, Dr. K, that guy was already on the watch list to be looked at.
Yeah, well, after he made $243,000, I'm sure he has some stuff saved up.
All he did is do what he's been comfortable doing. And to show you how comfortable that joker was, when someone says, "Sarge, calm down," he told them to don't tell him how to do his job.
Now, I got
to
stop you there, Thomas. I appreciate you. We have Ed on the phone from East Baltimore. Ed, how are you?
I'm doing well, Dr. K. I really, really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I wanted to say a little bit more about forgiveness. God, remedy for forgiveness, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and restore us into a right relationship. Forgiveness come after confession. Mm. That's God's standard. I don't think God would have us at a higher standard than he has.
Mm.
If a person don't confess to you their faults, you're not at liberty to forgive them. The forgiveness comes through admission of fault.
Right.
And then the restoring of the relationship comes. And I for years I lived that, you know, if I don't forgive you, I'm in a prison. No, I'm not in a prison. My job is to turn you over to God for the destruction of the flesh, that your soul might be saved. I can pray for you. I can think about you in anger, but I'm going to turn you over to God and let him have those vengeance, because he will give a proper punishment, not the punishment that I might give. So I'm not buying that I'm in slavery because I don't forgive you. Because God said, when you confess, that's when the door open for forgiveness. And I don't believe he'll have us to be at a higher standard than he has.
That's a good point. Thank you so much, sir. I appreciate you. We have Lolly on the phone from Woodlawn. Lolly, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Dr. K?
How are you?
Yeah, and like you said, the only thing that when I think about this whole topic, the first thing that comes to mind is Malcolm X when he was talking about the knife in the back.
Yeah.
He said, you know, you can't take the knife off my back and not work on fixing the wound. So
yes.
It's like, it's cool. It's okay to forgive, but we can't forgive and nothing has changed. You know what I mean? If we still in the same situation, no real progress has been set to make any kind of changes as far as all these killings with the police, like you said, people going in the church, then I don't think we should be really too forgiving until we see some real progress. And then also, I don't know how often Jewish people forgive Nazis.
Mm. That's a good point.
No, I appreciate you.
And folks, that what Malcolm X has been talking about, if you stick a knife in my back, I think he said 6 inches, and you pull it out 3 inches, how's that forgiveness? I mean, the knife is still in my back. You have it. It's not out. There's no healing. You just pulled it out 3 inches. You still have 3 inches still in my back. So the notion of forgiveness, and I am not saying that we shouldn't forgive. I want to be clear. I'm just trying to understand forgiveness. I'm just saying, folks, it feels like we're doing a lot of forgiving and nothing is changing, right? So we forgive and then we have Phoenix. We forgive and then there's Charleston. We forgive and then there's Sergeant Newberg. We forgive and then there's Freddie Gray. We forgive and then there's Eric Garner. We forgive and then there's Ferguson. Like, we forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and nothing hasn't really changed. We have Nimoy on the phone, a new caller from Baltimore. Nimoy, how are you? Welcome to the family, and I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name.
No, you said it correctly, and thank you for that. I just need to say three things, but the first thing I have to say, my Uncle Robert Colton actually turned me on to 88.9 and told me about you.
Oh,
that's when
you.
I started listening about 3 days ago.
I'm so glad you're listening. And welcome to the family.
Thank you so much. One, it might seem like I'm off point, but I got you about forgiveness.
Okay.
And this lady, one of the callers say they never came back to seek our forgiveness for what they have done to us. And a brother before her said it was about it's carnal and it's spiritual. You got to go spiritually. The reason they are comfortable, very comfortable, in hurting and killing us with no remorse and still moving forward is because the game went from black and white to pink and green.
Mm.
Now that it's pink and green, they're very comfortable with these three right here. The most a man can do is kill you. The worst a man can do is torture you. The greatest thing he will do is release you back to the only one that can judge you. You must know the difference between killing and releasing.
Mm.
The devil kills what God has blessed to have an expiration date, flesh. The spirit cannot die. All it can do is be released back to the only one that can judge you. That's what the white man knows. That's why they have no problem in bringing palm torture to the one that God gives favor, the one who has the carbon that gives their skin pigmentation color. Until we realize more than anything that slavery was all about breaking the unity of the chosen people and make you think individually. That's why they watches and monitors us so much, because if they ever see us unify, which is raising up the bride of Christ, that's when they're going to show you their real diabolical self.
Thank you so much. I got to stop you there anymore. I appreciate you. Folks, I know we have a lot of callers, and we're definitely going to hold everyone to 90 seconds to 2 minutes, but we're definitely going to do that. They're going to hold me accountable for this in the room. We have Dwayne on the phone from Baltimore. Dwayne, how are you?
I'm just happy to be here, Dr. Kate. This is a very interesting conversation, all your conversations are, but I got to ask a counter question. What is the alternative if you're not going to forgive? You can certainly be angry if you want. But don't we as black people have centuries of anger built up in us?
Yeah, that's
okay?
True.
You can go out and exact some revenge. I mean, no one said that word, but I'm going to say it. Revenge? Do you want revenge? You can go out and exact some revenge if you want, but what will be the cost of that revenge beyond your soul to include your flesh? So you get to do whatever you want. You can hold on to the anger, which is already killing black people from the inside. You can go out and exact some revenge and see what that does, if that makes you feel better, and watch the carnage that happens afterwards. You can do whatever you like. Or you can be spiritual. You can reach for your highest, the depth of spirituality, and you can forgive. Your choice.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Dwayne. So, folks, it is up to you. What do you do? And we talk about what happened at that Charleston church. After they sat there for an hour doing Bible study, when they were actually contemplating the Gospel of Mark's account of the parable of the sower, when this murderer stood up, he shot 70 rounds, folks. Each person was shot more than 8 or 9 times. He just kept shooting and shooting. She shot the pastor first. Tawanza Sanders, 26 years old, pleaded with the shooter not to kill him. And the killer responded, "You blacks are killing white people on the streets every day and raping white women every day." And so then he shot and killed him. And he just kept on. He stepped over the bodies and he left the church. And he told the cops later that he thought the cops would be outside waiting for him. So he saved some of the bullets so he can shoot himself. During the trial, he didn't even put up any kind of defense. In fact, he said, "You know, I hope they do give me a life sentence. I don't know what it's worth, what it's going to mean." Yeah. Forgiveness. What does that even look like? I'm just wondering. I'm not saying we shouldn't forgive. I know what the Bible says around forgiveness. I'm just asking a hard question. We have Will on the phone from Pikesville. Will, how are you?
I'm doing just fine, Dr. K. Thank you very much for having me on your show this afternoon.
Absolutely.
Hope you're well yourself. Listen, I agree with a lot of what I'm hearing. I do believe that we should not tolerate a lot of this stuff. If we would learn ways, I'm not up with the latest technology, if we would learn how to communicate with politicians, even if it's email or fax or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, put enough pressure on them, I think that would help. I think the police departments really need to do a better job of screening and training the police officers right. to do their job in an effective manner without being, without allowing their racist feelings to take control. And to be fair about the whole thing, if black people went out in the street and started, acts of revenge, unfortunately, that would escalate the situation. It'll make it 10 times worse than what it is right now. But I do believe that even though these atrocities are still going on, I think that more and more white law enforcement people are becoming aware of the fact that black people do not feel like tolerating, not to mention lawsuits. I hate to say this, but unfortunately, most black people that are murdered in the United States are murdered by other black people by the thousands. Right. Well, thanks for your time. That's all I have to say.
I appreciate you. Folks, it is something I knew that was going to come up. I knew at some point someone's going to bring up, well, what do we do about black people killing black people? Folks, I know the reality of that. I also know the reality of the fact that we talk about black-on-black crime, and I put that on quotation because that's a fallacy, because we know all the research shows that people are killed more often by people that look like them in their communities. I get all of that. And just because we have things happening in our community, then does it make it okay people to walk in our church and shoot us? Does it make it okay for the cops to pull a gun on us when our child inadvertently takes a $4 or $5 toy from the store? So it makes it okay? I don't think it's an either or conversation. I think it's an and both. We are strong enough. We are smart enough. We are brilliant enough to hold both of these things at the same time. We can talk about the violence being committed toward us and talk about the violence in our community at the same time. It's not either or, it's and both. We have Tammy on the phone from Reisterstown. Tammy, how are you?
Hey, Dr. K. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I just want to start with, the word forgiveness. The word forgiveness is something that we as a people take from the book called the Bible. Now, there's two versions of the Bible. I just saw at the National Museum for African American Studies a copy of the Negro Bible, which did not include everything given to the white people to read.
Hmm.
From slavery, they
yes.
gave us a Reader's Digest version to keep us down. So I think we need to really sit back and say, it's not that I'm not religious, it's not that I don't believe in a higher being, but I think we need to stop giving so much credence to this book, the Bible, because I'm reading something that's posted on Instagram now. It says, the Europeans have never marched, sang, protested, begged, or pleaded for what they wanted. They took it by force. Yet they're the ones that are force-feeding the Bible to everybody.
Mm. So okay? What do we do? So how do you forgive, Tammy? Are you able to do that?
Excuse me?
Are you able to forgive?
Am I able to forgive? I'm able to acknowledge that somebody's done a wrong.
Okay.
But I don't let that wrong go unchecked. And I keep it at my side to remember what they did the first time, they'll do the second if I allow them to do it.
Good point. You keep
disrespecting me, it's me that's at fault, not you, because I allow it.
Tammy, you sound like my mother. My mother said, the first time you can blame yourself. I mean, the first time you can blame them. The second time it happens, you got to blame yourself because you know who you're dealing with.
Exactly. They write the rule and then they change it because they don't go by the playbook. They do what they want to do.
That's a good point. Thank you so much, Tammy. I appreciate you. I have Nate on the phone from West Baltimore. Nate, how are you?
Oh, how you doing, Dr. Kate?
Doing well.
Oh, right. All right. Yeah, you're talking about forgiveness. So I can't forgive somebody who killed innocent people, when Trayvon Martin got killed. All I can hear and remember was his screams.
Mm.
And that hurts, somebody else killing a kid like that. No, I can't forgive. I'll forgive once you're dead. When I kill you, then I'll forgive you. Then I'll make my peace,
And that's sad because it means that you're holding on to a lot. I mean, think about it. If you can only feel forgiveness once you've exacted revenge, that's rough. Because the question is, what do you get revenge for? Every single slight that's committed against you?
Oh, yeah. I believe in revenge, you know.
Okay.
I'm not going to let you kill someone in my family and get away with it. And why should we forgive? They don't forgive us. They count on us always running to the Bible. Because that's where most of us are praying was anyway. But there's going to be some black people left behind.
All right, I'm about to stop you there, Nate. There was something, his line was, sorry about that, folks. I know his line was a little scratchy and it was hard to hear. We have Donna on the phone from Baltimore. Donna, how are you?
Pretty good. How you doing, Dr. K?
I'm just having a hard conversation. It's a hard one.
I've had this conversation with a lot of people. And I had a conversation with a mother at one of the supermarkets where her son was killed by a drug dealer. And he killed a lot of people, and somehow he's still walking around. And I said to her, have you found somewhere in your heart of forgiveness? And she said that she's still struggling with it. And I told her, if you don't forgive him, that anger and that bitterness is going to eat you up. Not him, because he's still walking around. God will take care of him when it's time. But in the meanwhile, you have to take care of yourself and let that anger and bitterness go. Because if you don't forgive him, you can't forget it. You will never forget it.
Right.
But if you don't ever forgive him and let that anger go, it will eat you up. And I told her, the spiritual law says the law of cause and effect, the law of reciprocity, and the law of oneness, and the law of Christ consciousness. If she practices the law of spirituality and those different laws, she will be able to move on because God will take care of him. But it's not the right time right now for him. But God will take care of him. And when that time comes, it may not be ready when she wants it, but it will happen when she's not looking at it. So, you know, I had to come, and I tell a lot of people this. It's not when you want to, but it will take time. It will happen.
All right, I'm going to stop you there. Folks, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, I have David and Nikki on the phone, and then I want to introduce something in the conversation that I know is going to concern you. So stay tuned. We got some more coming up after the break. Dr. K, I'm Dr. K. Wazwahe. Folks, we have been talking today about forgiveness. And we have used as our frame the fact that yesterday was kind of the memorial for what happened in Charleston 4 years ago. When that monster walked into that black church. And I have to say black church because he specifically chose it because it was a historic black church. Prayed with the people for an hour and then shot them. And then when the families offered forgiveness, it was hard to hear. It was fast. It felt fast to me. And I understand it. I understand you do what you can to heal. Since then, there have been countless incidences involving unarmed black folks being shot and killed by police officers, by would-be vigilantes, by white supremacists and white nationalist. And one of the first questions typically asked by reporters is, are you ready to forgive? Do you offer forgiveness? Where are you with forgiveness? I'm struggling with this. And I'm just thinking about it. And I'm not saying we shouldn't forgive. I'm just thinking about it. Because I feel like we are called to be forgiving people. And I'm tying this to what it means to be black in America. Because sometimes the atrocities that we face, whether it's slavery or Jim Crow or the Black Codes or lynching or the rise of the KKK or the Civil Rights Movement or Black Lives Matter or white folks acting like the cops are their cousins and just calling them for everything on us, that we're called to forgive and forgive and forgive. And I just want to talk about it. Again, I'm not saying we shouldn't forgive. I just want to talk about it. We have David on the phone from Gwin Oak. David, how are you?
I'm fine, Dr. K, and yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Well, Dr. K, what I need first foremost is for you to walk with me for a minute.
Okay.
You're a universal being, right?
Yes.
Okay. The universe is structured in law.
Okay.
It's not structured in forgiveness, Dr. K.
Okay.
I apologize. I'm sorry to bring this to your attention. But the universe has nothing to do with forgiveness. Nothing. Okay. It's structured in law.
Okay.
It's structured in a scientific boundary of control balances of law that deal with the presence of the universe that also deals with the presence of you. Now, what I'm saying is to say this. The spirituality crap, that's all it is. It's something that the Caucasians, the Romans, the Greeks put together to make a religion that will control us and keep us subdued. We've been forgiven, Dr. K, since this Caucasian has been in existence.
Okay.
We've been forgiven, been subdued to a state of nothing but forgiveness.
All right, I appreciate
you.
Thank you for calling. So, folks, I want to be clear with forgiveness. I mean, I just went and looked it up, right? Now, forgiveness is talked about in the Bible, but there are countless articles and books about forgiveness. Forgiveness is part of the process of healing and letting go of the past. When you're angry with someone and you feel hurt and you offer forgiveness, you are offered forgiveness, it means to cease to feel resentment against someone or something. That forgiveness is this process of healing. It means you don't feel resentment. It means you start to heal. Now, it's difficult to do because we live in a society where we're asked for forgiveness all the time. People are always apologizing. We're saying, okay. But forgiveness is supposed to be the first step towards healing, that it has nothing to do with the other person and everything to do with us. Have you ever been so angry in your life, so hurt, that forgiveness was that first step for you? Just putting it out here. 410-319-8888. We have Nikki on the phone from Baltimore. Nikki, how are you?
I'm good, Auntie K. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
So with the forgiveness, I think that we take it not necessarily like just because someone says to forgive that you forgive and then you become negligent of learning from the situation, you become negligent of, you know, progress and anything that comes with it. My 2-year-old son broke our TV and we, you know, he said, Mom, you know, Mom, Dad, do you forgive me? We forgive him. And we do. But what do we do next time? We put the TV on a stand a little higher so he won't break it again. Put him, you know, make him go to his room or whatever, and so that he can know, okay, I can't cross that boundary again. I know better to do that with the TV. So I just think that, you know, especially when with the media, and I think when something happens to us and the media says, well, do you forgive them? They shouldn't be allowed. Don't answer that question. Why are you asking me? Why are you asking me? That's between me and my God. But they've learned to use forgiveness to keep us docile. And it's just like, no, you don't. Just because this person does this horrific thing, forgiveness, you don't put it on me to forgive. Don't try to expose whether or not I forgive.
Mm.
That's a private thing that I should be able to do.
Because forgiveness can happen whether the person being forgiven even knows about it. Because it can be something that's happening in your heart. I like that. My son did something. Your son asked for forgiveness. You forgave him, but you learned. You moved the TV to a higher stand. You made sure you put your purse up. You made sure that you locked the door next time. So maybe forgiveness is that first step that has nothing to do with the killer. Maybe it has nothing to do with the police officer. Maybe it has nothing to do with the would-be vigilante and everything to do with us healing and us moving beyond it. We have Dwight from Parkville. Dwight, how are you?
Good afternoon, Dr. K. This is where I'm at. I don't understand this conversation where people suggest that if I don't forgive, that I'm going to be holding on to this thing, because I've had just like everybody else, tragedies and things where I felt slighted or whatever. Sometimes I think it's important to forgive, but I think it's more important for us to not dwell. Mm. I think that's what we should not be doing, dwelling on these issues where they take up time in our mental, whatever's going on with us. So I would think that I'm not going to forget. I work with children. I tell them, no, I'm not going to forget. I'm not going to hold it against you. I'm not going to hold it over your head like a sword of Damocles. But I'm not going to forget the next time what happened or the issue. I'm not going to forget it, but I'm not going to keep it in the front of my head, and I'm not going to bring it up every time what happened with us. But I will say that I believe that the notion that we cannot help ourselves if we don't forgive others, I think that's erroneous. And I really appreciate the job you do and all the people at WEA.
Thank you so much. That's a good point, folks. Maybe when we start talking about if you don't forgive, this is what's happened to your heart. Maybe all that doesn't make any sense. Maybe it's the process that you have to walk, and only you can determine your journey. We have Curtis on the phone from Baltimore. Curtis, how are you?
I'm good, Dr. K. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing well, thank you.
Great topic, Dr. K. You've had this conversation before in the past. Dr. K, I'm not a forgiving person. And let me tell you, Dr. K, I'm an honest, and I'm a person with integrity. I can be your best friend or your worst enemy, depending on what you show me or what you give to me. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
But let me just say, as far as us as a people forgiving our oppressors, Dr. K, like quite a few of your callers have said, they've never apologized to us. And still till to this day, they haven't apologized. We're still living under oppression and systemic racism and racism in all forms, as far as economics and education and everything else. We still deal with that, Dr. K. My problem with us, Dr. K, is that we need to self-educate, Dr. K. And when I say self-educate, we need to put the Bible down and pick up some real books and start reading them and find out our real history and what our ancestors been through. Where was Jesus when all our ancestors coming over here on the so-called boats were being thrown in the ocean? Or where was Jesus, Dr. K, when our ancestors were being whipped and tortured, murdered and raped, and all robbed and stole from and cracked up and lynched?
I got to stop you there, folks. Curtis is putting out a question. Now, I know that that's controversial, and I know how my dad would answer that. My dad would say, Jesus is right there in your heart, and he's always with you, never away from you. I get that. But I also get the real question that he's asking, which I think is a bigger question. I mean, I think this question has been asked for a long time, that with all the suffering in the world, with all of the violence in the world, all the crime in the world, all the senseless murders in the world, where is God when I need them? Where is he? I get what he's asking. I get it. And it's a big question. Folks, when you start having conversations about religion, conversations about spirituality, I know they're big. I know they're tough. I know they're hard. But I also know we can have it. And we don't have to agree. And we can have it without being abusive and mean and nasty to each other. It's just trying to wrestle through it together. We have Valerie on the phone from Baltimore. Valerie, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Dr. K, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm so glad you called.
Thank you. I'm going to pick up where you left off, and I know that's a heated conversation with Karl Marx. Karl Marx said it best, religion is the opiate of the masses. Mm. Religion, it keeps us oppressed. So we'll be docile until it's fine to believe in something, but faith without works is dead. So our people are always talking about the Bible and God, but God doesn't want us to be a footstool. So while we're believing in him, we should believe that we can fight back and that he will support us. Mm-hmm. But as far as forgiveness, we were never asked for forgiveness. And we're the only ones who are always talking about forgiveness. I have not heard the Jews speak of forgiving for the oppression and the murders. They were actually murdered, and like we were, in a gas chamber. And they refuse to forgive. And they don't even talk about forgiving, but we're always the ones being asked to forgive and forgive and forget for institutional racism, for forgive and forget about the burning of our bodies, the lynching of our ancestors, and current to current day murderers of our people in the street. Why are we always asked to forgive? And what are we supposed to do with the hurt and the pain while we're forgiving? I mean, God is there for those who believe, but again, the pain is still there. And again, the wages of sin is death. So even though someone may commit a sin, you still have to pay for that sin. So me forgiving you means nothing. You still are going to have to pay for that sin.
Thank you so much. Folks, this is a heated conversation. I mean, we understand what she's saying. And what she was just quoting about the wages of sin is death was Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So heated conversations about religion are hard conversations, but that's fine. My thing is that if we can't talk about it, then how do we ever learn from each other? We're not saying we all have to agree, but we all have to be respectful. Just kind of a reminder of some of the ground rules here, folks, but I'm going to let you talk. We got Paul online from West Baltimore. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Dr. K, thanks for taking my call. The caller said, where was Jesus at? Now, put Jesus on the side for a second. Let's talk about God. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, 68th verse, God said that his people, if they rebelled against him again, he was going to put them back in Egypt. He said, I will send the slave ship to come and get you. Mm-hmm. And male and female, you will be sold into captivity, and then you will be taken to a foreign land where you will not understand the language. There is no other race on this planet that has been placed in slavery. Been put on slave ship and sold into slavery. Now, we talk about God's people. We're not talking about these fake Jews that claim that they're the Jews, Israel, all that other stuff. We talk about God's people.
Paul, I'm just going to ask you what you're talking about, because I know you quoted from Deuteronomy 28:68, and I know that you are a pastor. So you're saying that as black people, you're claiming that we're God's original people, and this was what happened to us in terms of bringing into Egypt again with ships. No one will speak your language. You'll be bondsmen and bondswomen. No man shall buy you. You're talking about Deuteronomy 28:68.
Come on. It's all in it. We are in that Bible. Yeah, they changed. They tried to make changes, but you cannot change what is in there. You want to know why we where we at right now? Well, according to the Bible, this is part of being with our forefathers was disobedient to God. Now, this is biblical speaking. Now, let's get back to the other part. Now, Dr. K, that guy that did that, did you read the rest of the story about him and what happened to him when he was in prison? Remember the young lady was talking about God or
yes,
something will happen to him? Okay, yeah. Well, accordingly, his cell had, when they let him out to go take his shower, they supposed they locked all the other inmates in the cell. But one particular inmate cell was not locked. So he ended up going down to the shower where the man was. And I'm not going to tell you what happened, but let me tell you something.
But I do know people can find that story online. And I know exactly what you're talking about, Paul. I did not go into that part of the story only because I didn't want to delve into his life as a murderer. I wanted to stop with just honoring and remembering what happened to the 9 people at the Charleston church. Whatever's happened to the murderer, you know what? He showed no remorse and still shows no remorse. In fact, he said, I don't regret what I did. In fact, I had to do it, and I would do it again if I had the chance. So I haven't looked into his life at all and what's happened to him since he went off to jail, which is where he belongs. We have Carolyn on the phone from East Baltimore. Carolyn, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I'm not going to talk long, but, you know, We were created from the dust of the earth, right?
Right.
So God gave us free will, and a lot of things that's going on in the earth, it's not his fault, but his word is true. And whatever's going on in the earth, remember, he said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principality, demonic forces of the air. So we're fighting against spirits like they were saying, all the people were saying. And God is in the atmosphere. He's in control no matter what's going on in the earth, no matter what Trump doing, no matter what people doing. But we have to forgive each other, and then we have to forgive ourselves. Because when you don't forgive a person, you hinder your blessings from God. He wakes you up every day, and he starts you on your way, but you have to forgive. And I have been through a lot, but I have forgiven those people, and I have moved on and let it go. He said, let it go, and I let it go. You won't forget. But you will let go.
Thank you so much, Carolyn. I appreciate you. And Carolyn was quoting from Ephesians 6:12, folks. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this flesh, of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Folks, yeah, I know the biblical references you're making. I am familiar with them. I also know that it is sometimes challenging. You know, where do you stand on this issue? Because where you stand on forgiveness does tap into how you see yourself in the world. It does tap into your own spirituality. If you're saying, hey, as a Christian, I am supposed to forgive because the Bible tells me to forgive, because Jesus told me to forgive, then what happened in Charleston makes sense to you. It makes sense that the family, all Christians, all connected to the church, offered forgiveness. It makes sense. Because if you believe in something, then you follow the dictates of that belief. I've struggled with forgiveness, but I do know as a Christian what the Bible tells me. And I know it will be hard. And I know you have to pray and you have to keep working through it. I mean, I'm just talking about times in my life when I've been angry. And the only thing that's gotten me through is second by second, just asking for the strength to make it through. Maybe you have another way. I'm just talking about it. We have Leonard on the phone from Glen Burnie. Leonard, how are you?
I'm fine, Dr. K, and thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
First and foremost, I do not pray for my enemy.
Okay.
I do not forgive my enemy, and I don't teach my children to love and forgive their enemies because that is not commonsensical.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the common sense in doing that? God is no punk. Did God forgive Pharaoh? You know what I'm saying?
God, so I know what you're saying.
You have to use your common sense. And God gave me common sense. And you have to be able to decipher some of the things that you're reading in these religious texts. Now, Dr. K, I'm evil, Dr. K, and I come in and I wipe out your whole family, but I leave you behind. You're going to forgive me for that?
Oh, no, it's going to be hard.
I get to go on.
Yep.
I get to live with my family and prosper. But look at what I did to yours. And what common sense does that make?
Then I have a question for you, Leonard, because this is where the conversation is going to turn. So where do you stand with the death penalty? So if you come into my house, as you just said, you blow my whole family away and leave me, which I think is cruel, right? Because I got to deal with the guilt of that. I'm thinking about the incredible guilt that the woman who was left behind at the Charleston church has been dealing with for 4 years. Should you be able to sit up in jail, taking classes, getting 3 meals a day? Getting your degrees if you want to, or are you a firm believer in the death penalty when it comes to something like that?
I am a firm believer.
Okay.
In the death penalty, if you are proven beyond a shadow of a doubt
to be guilty,
all the facts that have been presented in court, that you went and you murdered all of the, like the Green River Killer and all the serial killers, you know. Let me tell you what they do with them.
Yes.
Dr. K, this is what they do. This is what they do with those people, Dr. K. They want to study them and find out what makes their brain work. Come on, now.
Stop,
you're not going to find out what makes their brain work.
You can study brains after people are gone. I'm just saying. You can study their brains when they're gone. I'm just saying. How are you cutting into somebody's brain? They're still here anyway. We have called on the phone from East. You know what? Let me go back and clean that up. When it comes to the death penalty, I know that it's a passionate topic. And I am not saying that we should take their life just to study their brain. I'm saying if you walk into my house and you blow my whole family away and you leave me alive and you're going to lay up in prison for the next 20, 30 years and it's come out of my tax money, I got a lot of questions. It's going to be hard to forgive. It's going to be even harder watching you grow old knowing that my kids never had a chance to do so. I don't know, folks. I'm just saying these are difficult times. These are difficult moments. These are difficult decisions, but we can have the conversation. We have Carla on the phone from East Baltimore. Carla, how are you?
I'm good, Dr. K. I'm appreciating this conversation today, and I'd just like to add one thing.
Yes.
I am willing to forgive. When our oppressors are willing to ask for forgiveness, offer recompense, restitution, and reparation.
There you go.
Then I think forgiveness will be in order, not before.
I'm right. You know, I'm writing all that day. Recompense, restitution, and reparations. I'm with
Thank
you, sister.
You.
Thank you so much. So we got some steps here for forgiveness, folks. We have Reggie on the phone. Reggie's a new call. Welcome to the family. He's driving on 495 en route to PG County. How are you, Reggie?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me, Dr. K.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I never call in shows, but I had to call in.
I'm so glad you
on
did.
On this one regarding the topic of forgiveness. So, yeah. Have you looked at the data, Dr. K, for or the work that's been done for the correlation between forgiveness and stress reduction?
Yes.
I know there's something. Okay, good. So, and there's something to that, isn't
there? Yes, there is. There's something about the process of forgiving that takes down your stress, takes down blood pressure, takes down the anger. Yes, all of that seems to be connected because you're putting a lot of energy into that negative emotion.
Yeah, and so that's what I read too, and so then to take it a step further, that stress reduction and then is also tied, or the ability to manage stress is, from what I understand, tied in also to the ability to mediate conflict.
Yes,
and so we got some ongoing conflicts and some struggles and some things that are going to continue to take place to us as Black people, and if we can't manage our stress, we're going to end up in a cycle.
Oh yeah,
I think it contributes to the cycle. So I think forgiveness, for that reason, for the scientific reason, it says, am I able to manage this interaction in the moment? And the answer is no. If I'm not, if I'm full of unforgiveness, according to what we just said, I think is that am I reading
you're
that right?
Absolutely okay. Correct. You're absolutely correct, Reggie. I'm so glad you put that on the table, folks. Just to let you know about what Reggie's study is, Johns Hopkins Medicine has come up with this whole thing called forgiveness. Your heart depends on it, and your health depends on it. And the American Psychological Association came up with a whole new study around how forgiveness can improve mental and physical health. That by being able to forgive, you end up with reduced anxiety. You reduce your depression, and you reduce major psychiatric disorders. These are studies that are done in the APA. Take a look at it. They're saying forgiveness is actually attached to your mental and your physical health and well-being. We have Ronnie on the phone from Brooklyn, Maryland. Ronnie, how are you?
How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Okay, quick question. Two quick things. I know you're running out of time. One, we've done so much stuff to the Lord that he still forgives us.
Mm.
That's number one example.
Yes.
He died on the cross. He showed forgiveness. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. So we can forgive, even when we feel like we can't forgive.
Right.
Number two, years ago, I was being cursed by a witch. Real quick story.
What?
Cursed by a witch. She was, she was on my job, and she was cursing me. You know, she didn't like me. She didn't like me. So I kept getting in trouble. I started to hate this woman. One day, the Lord told me, he said, Ron, I know that you cannot forgive her. I said, you're right. He said, but I want you to love her through me.
Mm.
I said, okay. So once I said, Lord, let me love her through you. And then after I started loving her, I started to pray for her. And all of a sudden I said, Lord, I forgive her. Because God understands we can't do it in our own strength.
Right.
You have to be able to allow God. Scripture says if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land.
Yes.
You first of all, use your will to say, I will forgive her. God understands it. Now let God help you forgive her with his strength, and you'll be able to forgive anybody. And also with the oppressors, we may never get a forgiveness from them. And that's okay. Because at the end of the day,
right.
God says, what do you say? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, right?
That's
so
what he said.
So at the end of the day, let him deal with it. But we got to get ourselves right so we can move on. But we need help from Christ to help us to forgive. We can't do it in our own strength.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much, folks. One of the scriptures he was referencing was Colossians 3:13, which says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Do we have time for one more call? All right, we got Dennis on the phone from Northeast Baltimore. Dennis, how are you?
Greetings, Dr. K. I think that not forgiving is the same as being stuck. And I'm coming from a clinical lens, and I think sometimes it's very difficult to really look at what forgiveness is and all it can do for us when we look at these heinous or very horrendous acts. And I think as a clinical person or a person as a therapist, I deal with people, and I work with people on a daily basis who really can't forgive their father, who can't forgive their mother, and we take these things and we stroke them all across the board. But so I think that, you know, we see what the problem of forgiveness, not forgiving, does to us on a very in our families. I think that we can look at it from a more global or general perspective as well, but it's more difficult to look at forgiveness from that perspective. I think if we look at the Central Park Five and we look at the brother who can't forgive his brother and how ill he is and how sick and how angry he is and how it's affecting him, we can have a better perspective on how forgiveness can help. Because I know many of us wish that this brother could forgive his father, because we see how it's affecting him today. Right. But, you know, he hasn't gotten to the place to forgive.
All right, I'm going to stop you there. Dennis, I appreciate you being our last call. Folks, thank you so much for the conversation. I know it was hard. Conversations about forgiveness, conversations about racism and white nationalism and white supremacy, conversation about the church and about the Bible. These are difficult conversations. But what I really enjoy about this show is that we're willing to pull up a chair to the kitchen table and have a conversation that matters. Folks, make an appointment. Meet me back here tomorrow at 3 p.m. Tomorrow is the weekly wrap, which means nothing is off the table tomorrow. You can bring any topic that you want to the table tomorrow. So make an appointment, meet me here. I remember what Angela Davis said. I am no longer accepting the things I cannot change. I am changing the things I cannot accept. This is Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Keep it here for the Culture with Faraji. It's been an honor and a privilege.